to the Authentic Health Coaching Show. My name is Tom Corson-Knowles, founder of Authentic Health Coaching and your host for the show today. Hey, if you haven't, visit us over at AuthenticHealthCoach.com. Please do. We have Dr. Corson's top 5 nutrition tips for you. It's a free report, and it is the number one guide to taking your health to the next level with better diet and better nutrition. And today on the show, we have a very, very special show for you today. It's an interview with the wonderful Jennifer Papacostantino, and she is an expert in nutrition and in allergies, and that's what she's talking about today, is allergies. And not only is she an expert in nutrition and allergies, but she's also an expert in iridology and in live blood analysis. And this show for you today is so important because there's so many people today suffering with allergies, whether it's just seasonal allergies, whether it's something like eczema or skin disorders.
And so if you know anyone with any of these disorders
or any kind of unexplained symptoms like chronic fatigue, they're tired all the time, they're sick all the time, they don't know why, the doctors don't know what's wrong with them, it's a high probability that it could be allergies. So pay close attention to the show today, take great notes, and please share it with the people in your life who do have allergies, because it could absolutely change their life forever. Make it a great day.
Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for being on the show with us today at the Authentic Health Coaching Show. And why don't you start by telling our listeners a little bit more about you and your background and how you got interested in the field of allergies.
So my name's Jennifer, and I live in Pickering, Ontario, which is just the outskirts of Toronto. How did I get interested in allergies? I'm actually the mother of 4 children, and my daughter, who is now 17, when she was young, she developed what would be considered today normal childhood problems, asthma, eczema. Then it developed into a more severe case, like she had an immune system crash, and she developed a severe case of the whooping cough, which actually almost took her life. And at the time, all I knew was allopathic medicine, so what's now known as conventional medicine, and I didn't know that there was other options available to us. And it wasn't until I had met a naturopath and had an appointment with her, and we changed her diet and changed her lifestyle and changed, basically did an overhaul on our life, to try to get her health back, is when we realized the importance of diet and nutrition, because things that she had, which I didn't think were going to go away, such as asthma, kind of disappeared. And so it was quite a learning experience for my husband and I. And I actually have ran my own home daycare business. So seeing that all the kids are suffering with asthma and eczema and hyperactivity and, you know, brain fog and things like that, you know, trying to talk to their parents over the years about changing the what the kids are eating in their diet, and no one would listen to me. So that's when I decided to go back to school over 6 years ago and study holistic nutrition. And I've never looked back.
Wow, that's awesome. You know, it's
so
amazing. Every time
story,
I've interviewed so many people on different experts in different fields of nutrition, health, and wellness, and almost universally they all say that it was either a personal health challenge or a challenge with someone close to them and their family or their friends that really got them interested in the field of nutrition and health. So it's just fascinating to hear that, you know, you're well into that thread as well. So, you know, why are allergies such a big problem today? I mean, you talked about your daughter having her problems and all the kids in the daycare having problems. Is it more common now than it ever has been before?
It really is. There's just so many different allergies. People are not aware of the different causes of allergies, and of course there's the hereditary factor, which, you know, the modern medicine puts quite too much emphasis on, because there's a whole branch of science out there called epigenetics, and it's just how the way you eat, drink, think, and live can change your the way your genes express themselves. And so, you know, hereditary is basically, when people say it's hereditary, I say it's bogus. But, of course, you know, there's biochemical individuality. So, you know, everyone has their own unique fingerprint or blueprint in their health. Nutritional deficiencies, are, of course, nowadays are a huge one, but also toxic overload. So it's our bodies work almost like a rain barrel. So, you know, toxicity-wise, there's only so much that your body can handle until your cup or barrel essentially overflows, and that's when you start to see a lot of health problems, and allergies being one of them. The pharmaceutical drug usage impairs your liver function, increases your toxic overload, as well as, you know, all the pesticides and herbicides and genetically modified, et cetera. Actually, and babies actually raised on infant formula actually increases their lifetime instances of allergy, because infant formulas are actually, unfortunately, full of high allergen potential ingredients, which for babies, that's no fun. Of course, you know, chronic infection, bacterial, viral, fungal, or any sort of parasitic infection in the body has a huge impact on the immune system. And digestion, that digestion is almost number one. It would be in the top three. So, but there's different kinds of allergies. Just to discuss allergy versus sensitivity, an allergy per se, which is kind of the immune reaction that modern medicine looks for, like a scratch test that they do at the hospital or by an allergist, actually only involves the immune system. So it's a little bit different than when someone says, I have an intolerance. So having an intolerance to something, the immune system could be involved, but not necessarily can it be proven that there's an immune system involvement. And then there's a sensitivity, such as someone who has to, like celiac, who has to stay away from gluten. A sensitivity is the inability to digest or the liver to process a certain substance. So someone might say, I'm allergic to garlic, because they experience a negative reaction, but it's not really an allergy per se, as it is more of a sensitivity.
Gotcha. And I know most people, when they think about allergies, they think, you know, either like itchy eyes, or they think like food allergies. Like if I eat strawberries, I get, you know, I break out. But I mean, allergies are a lot more in depth than that. So I mean, what other things are caused by allergies?
Allergies for kids, it could be bedwetting. For men, it could be prostatitis. You know, there's behavioral, there's psychosis. It's actually been documented in the past that children or adults could react like almost like a hyperactivity or a psychotic disorder when they are exposed to something that they're allergic to. And it could be even something that you're completely unsuspecting about, such as rice. You know, rice is supposed to be hypoallergenic, but not necessarily in certain cases. Any sort of itis condition, so arthritis, you know, any sort of inflammatory condition, which is what itis means, tonsillitis, sinusitis, anything like that could actually be a food allergy. Gallbladder problems, headaches, Crohn's disease, depression, and hundreds of more sort of symptoms that express themselves could potentially be a food allergy or sensitivity or intolerance.
Gotcha. And I know you've talked about so far already, you've talked about inflammation, and you've talked about epigenetics, and you've talked about the immune system function and digestion. And I know that they're all related, and they all go hand in hand. You know, like, for instance, the immune system, like over 60% of your immune system is just in your gut. So what are some things that people can do, like simple things that people can do to help improve their overall health, whether they have serious allergies or mild allergies, no allergies at all, but just to improve their general immune system and their digestive health as well?
Well, diet-wise, because I am a nutritionist, I put a lot of weight on what people eat. I mean, there's lots of natural remedies out there. There's lots of over-the-counter remedies that you can take. However, those are still Band-Aids, right? So one of the things that you really need to change is to, number one, improve your digestion, and number two, in my daughter's case, we took out all of her top 10 allergens, so wheat, corn, soy, chocolate, orange. For her, there was a whole host of fruits that had a specific mold in them, such as cantaloupes and grapes. We removed those from her diet. So basically cleaning up your initial, you know, your initial diet and the way you eat fundamentally will change a lot of things, and you'll notice a big difference. So for us, we went gluten-free because wheat is the one of the most genetically modified crops So no genetically modified, you know, we didn't consume anything genetically modified. Everything was organic. So, you know, wheat, corn, soy, especially removing those. Dairy is a huge one as well, especially for anyone with any sort of respiratory, such as arthritis or anything like that. Conventional dairy, that is, if you can find a raw source, which I know I – are you in the States, Tom?
Yeah.
Okay, because I know that that, you know, it's not very easy to find.
Yeah, you have to buy like a part share of a cow. You have to actually own part of the cow.
You can. There are still, I mean, you know, it hasn't been illegal yet, but you can buy cow shares now where you're, because you own part of the cow, you're entitled to any yield of that cow, which is fair, you know. But so I'm just talking about like, dairy that's found in the grocery store where the animals are kind of agri-farmed, like it's turned into like a big business. I don't know if any of your viewers have seen the movie Food, Inc. That's a really great documentary which kind of tells a lot about the meat industry. And, you know, for those of you who are interested in finding more out about that, you know, that's a great resource to have around, but basically cleaning up the diet, getting rid of the top allergens, and now, you know, going to somebody who would be able to find out not necessarily what you're allergic to, so it doesn't have to be a scratch test, because that, I find, accounts for less than 10% of allergies or sensitivities, that specific test, but somebody who could find out kind of like the Entero testing or the what's it called? It's done by a computer. So it's sensitivity testing more so. And that will give you a list. Usually they test you against a panel of about 250 foods. Also, you can request an environmental sensitivity test where they test you against a panel of environmental substances. And then they give you a list which is specific to you. And so doing something like that would also be very helpful. If you're still experiencing any sort of symptoms or you really want to pinpoint it, there's a test called the ELISA test. It's E-L-I-S-A. And they actually draw blood. It depends on the lab that you use, where they might actually take blood from your vein, or it could be something as simple as a finger prick. But they actually take your blood and then they measure it for antibodies against the food substances. And this would be kind of a delayed immune reaction, because sometimes when you consume a food that you're allergic to, or you're come in contact with a substance you're allergic to, you may have a delayed reaction that can actually be delayed up to 72 hours. So those kind of reactions are really hard to pinpoint where the actual allergy is coming from, because it was something that you came into contact with, be it food or environmental or something outside, like such as ragweed, and then you're experiencing a reaction 3 days later. So doing something like the ELISA test will give you a list of things that you absolutely need to avoid. And that actually, the delayed reaction accounts for about 80% of all food allergies. It is quite an expensive test. It may be covered under flex benefits or extended benefits from your workplace, but it's not covered under anything like, in Canada we have OHIP. In the States, I'm not quite sure. I think you have Blue Cross and Red Cross and, you know, things like that. So it could run you about $500-$600. But I did have my third child, who is a boy, so he's my son. That was a test that we actually needed for him, because he was experiencing kind of like delayed speech. He had kind of this chronic inflammation thing going on in his head with his sinuses. He had severe sleep apnea where he'd stop breathing like 400 times a night. He was wetting the bed, and no matter what we did, we couldn't pinpoint where his allergy was coming from. And so for me, it was worth it to spend the money to do the ELISA test, because if you would believe it, actually number one on his list was rice and number two was egg. And actually, egg is a huge allergen for a lot of people. So we kind of put him on a caveman diet for about a year, kind of the paleo diet where we ate a lot of no grains, absolutely no grains. And we did a lot of consuming of healthy meat, so clean proteins, all organic, a lot of nuts and seeds, fruits and veggies. And we basically just gave his digestive system a rest and let his body clean up. And now, this was many years ago, now he's fine. You know, we still eat very cleanly, but he's able to, you know, cheat a little bit and have a pizza slice here and, you know, be a kid again and have some ice cream if we're out and stuff like that. So that to me was worth it. And, you know, if somebody has children or if somebody really can't pinpoint where their allergy is coming from, and they kind of clean up their diet and they've cleaned out the common allergies and they're still experiencing, this might be something that they look into doing. So it's called the ELISA or the ACT, A-C-T test.
Yeah, I think that's so important that you're teaching people this because, you know, I see so many clients and people with all kinds of symptoms, whether it's like fibromyalgia or lupus or chronic fatigue, or they're just always sick all the time. They don't know why. And they'll go to the doctor, and the doctor says, I don't even know. There's nothing wrong with you. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, I hear that a lot in my clinical practice. You know, it's all in your head, or, you know, I've dealt with people who, you know, kind of, I'm their last resort, you know. And so it's unfortunate that it comes to that, you know, that the medical system is failing people, where they're telling people that it's all in their head, but they're at home sick. Some of these people can't even go to work because of the symptoms are so severe that they're experiencing. That is not in your head. Mm-hmm. You know, when you feel tired at 3 o'clock to the point where you just need to crash and have a nap, that is not in your head. You know, that's a real thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's, I mean, one of the first things I recommend to people who, when they go to the doctor, the doctor says, there's nothing wrong with you, I can't help you, you know, getting that ELISA test is so important, I think, because... 90% of the time, at least, it's going to at least give you an insight into what you can do to improve your health and to where that's coming
exactly.
from.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's huge. So
that was one of the most important things, actually, that I learned was that ELISA test, and it was so imperative, especially in the case of my son, where, you know, they were telling me he has a learning disability, and he also had hearing loss. And it all had to do with inflammation. And where was the inflammation coming from? It was coming from his gut, and it was coming from food. And it was coming from food that is good for normal most people, you know, rice. Rice is a healthy substance. Of course, I'm not talking about minute rice or rice in a box. I'm talking about whole grain brown rice. And he was reacting to that. So for us, the ELISA test was imperative in his healing. And he is wonderful now. You know, his health is wonderful. It's great. We are still dealing with a few issues from all the years of basically not being able to digest his food properly, so kind of malnutrition. But other than that, like, he doesn't have a learning disability. He's going into grade 5 now. We just went and met his teacher this morning. And, you know, his report card wasn't perfect, but he got all B's. And he's doing well in school, so, you know, and this was back in kindergarten when all this happened, you know. So for me, the ELISA test basically saved him. And in my daughter's case, when she just had kind of the immune reaction, just eliminating the common allergens at that time was enough for her, you know. But some people that might not be enough for.
Gotcha. So are there any other tests or things that you recommend that people can find out if they have any allergies?
Well, so we talked about the skin prick test. There's one called the RAST, which is R-A-S-T, which is radio allergosorbent test, and that also is an IgE antibody test. One of the downfalls, again, is that it's expensive. There's also a cytotoxic test, and basically that observes the living white blood cell, red blood cell, and platelets against the exposure to food and or chemicals. And then there's the elimination provocation, which is kind of what we did with my older daughter. And that's basically where you remove the most common allergens from the diet, but then you reintroduce them. And what you want to do is you want to reintroduce them one at a time and only one food per week, and then you wait to see if there's a reaction. And a reaction could be anything from red cheeks to hot earlobes to, if you have a baby, a rash on their behind or a little circle around their anus. It could be some sort of something come out on your skin. For people with eczema or any sort of inflammation, that will be aggravated. And so that's basically the provocation, is that you're testing your body against these things. Now, what I like to tell people in an easy way to find out if something is good for you or not is to do applied kinesiology, and that's basically muscle testing, but you can do muscle testing on yourself, and I'll just tell the viewers how to do this very easily. So kind of grab something around your house that you know you're not supposed to have. So if you have pop in the house or some bread that's kind of yeasty and not good for you, or you know, you can even use it on your cell phone. And what you do is you hold the item just right below your belly button. And, of course, you're standing on your 2 feet, and you place the tip of your tongue on the roof of your mouth, and you close your eyes. And basically, you should either feel a pull or a push backwards. And, you know, this doesn't work as dramatic for some people as it does for others. And basically, if you're kind of swinging, you're using your body more as a pendulum, if you will. And if you're kind of being pushed backwards, that would be a big no-no. So if you take something that you know for certain that you're not supposed to have, and you hold it just under your belly button, closing your eyes with the tongue touching the roof of your mouth, that should give you a no answer. And you'll kind of feel it push you backwards. And then take something that you know you're supposed to have, like broccoli, organic preferably, or, you know, a supplement like probiotics, which everyone on the planet needs this day and age, and or, you know, a nice organic apple, and hold that in the same way, and then you'll feel kind of like a pull forward. And so when you feel that pull forward, that's a yes for you. So that would mean A-okay. And, I mean, you can do this with certain foods, and your body will tell you, basically. You know, a lot of people don't listen to their body. Signs of inflammation, you know, eczema, itching, asthma, all those things are your body. It's at the point where your body's screaming, like, stop what you're doing and listen to what I need. And most people just like to suppress those symptoms. And instead of suppressing the symptoms, wouldn't it be good to just go back right to the root cause, which is usually gut, food, any sort of chronic viral or anything sort of infection like that, and get to the root cause of it and get rid of it? Then you don't have to worry so much about managing the symptoms because they won't be there anymore. So, I mean, in a perfect world, we wouldn't have genetically modified. In a perfect world, we wouldn't have all these herbicides and pesticides that we have to worry about, the toxic onslaught that we're up against every day. In a perfect world, we would be able to shampoo our hair and not have to worry about the 10,000 chemicals that we're putting in our body by the time we eat breakfast every morning, you know, from brushing your teeth with all the fluoride and slathering body lotion on with all those toxic chemicals and food dyes and things like that. So, but we don't live in a world like that, and so this allergy test is a really neat, inexpensive way that viewers at home could check if a food is really good for them or if it's more problematic.
Oh, that's great. That's a really effective way to test at home. And then
you know, try it when I was saying it?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, what?
Or you'll try it later.
Oh, no, I've done it before. I've actually heard about that before, yeah.
Okay.
About using your intuition. But I think that's key. You know, I was talking to a stress expert yesterday, and interviewing her for the show, Lauren Miller, and she was talking a lot about your intuition and how you feel and paying attention to your own body. And I think you're right that most people just, they don't pay attention to their own body. And it's like, you know, I heard a great, very wise healer tell me one time, you know, it's like God whispers in your body, and then when you don't hear the whisper, he gets a little louder, and then eventually he's yelling and you're on the floor with cancer or heart disease or a really bad diagnosis.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, that's you know, that's what a disease is. It's the ceremonious naming of your symptoms, and that's your body just screaming from the mountaintops, please listen to me now. You know?
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, and I know you just talked about probiotics and just mentioned it briefly there, but I want to go into more detail on that because you said, you know, everyone needs that, yeah, probiotics. Why is that?
Everyone needs probiotics. Why is that? Well, number one, one of the most important ways to have a healthy gut is to be born through the birth canal from a mother who has a healthy gut as well. So it really starts from birth onward. And then, of course, getting the good breast milk, getting the colostrum, which sets the bowel for the entire rest of your life. Okay, but babies are being born by C-section. They're being fed formula. And then they're being introduced grains as a first food. Okay, so all the big companies are promoting that baby's first food should be rice, cereal. And this is unfortunate that it's not being taught that babies actually do not produce an enzyme called amylase until after their first year, and amylase is required to break down grains. So right from that first bottle of Pablum or infant formula or even not coming through the birth canal, your life has not started out in the correct way to have good gut ecology, unfortunately. So due to just that alone and then the onslaught of, you know, most people only eat about, maybe I would say, stick to about 15 foods. So they're eating a lot of wheat, they're eating a lot of cheese, and they're eating a lot of beef and meat in the form of, you know, hot dogs or hamburgers or steak or you know, ground beef in the spaghetti sauce or things like that. So, you know, they've got these 15 foods that they eat a lot of. And you also deplete the enzymes from that. And if you have poor digestion, so, you know, a lot of the wheat now, because of the way we farm it, it's really, really high in gluten. And gluten is like glue in your gut. If you actually take a white wheat bun and you run it under some warm to hot water, basically all the starch will melt away and you'll be left with this ball of glue. And basically that's basically the gluten. And so that in your body is like, you know, it's this sticky, disgusting substance, and it creates this whole mucus problem in your gut. It also creates poor digestion, and it's also just like this sticky, gluey substance in your intestines. So, you know, and then we have the absence of traditional foods like fermented foods. So all over the world, there was a dentist actually who traveled the world wide over to study the health of people's teeth. And he had the opportunity to study indigenous societies. And not only did he study their teeth, but he realized that there was a correlation between what they ate and not just the health of their teeth, but the health of their whole society. So some of these societies, you know, 70-year-old men were still working. That wasn't called old age back, you know, in these societies. And they were limber, and they were young, and they had good teeth, and they had good health, and they were still doing things that people are doing here in their 40s. And so he realized, and what he learned from studying these indigenous peoples was that they had these commonalities in their diet, and one of them was eating lacto-fermented foods. So foods such as sauerkraut and kefir and sprouting their grains and basically doing all these things that traditional societies all over the world did. And so one of the things that's missing in the world over is fermented foods. And the lacto-fermented foods actually feed the good bacteria in your gut. So almost like a probiotic, you know. So not necessarily do you need to go and expend hundreds of dollars at the health food store, But, you know, you can ferment your own yogurt, for instance, and consume that, which would give you healthy probiotics in your gut. But 75% of your immune system is found in lymphatic tissue found in your small intestine called Peyer's patches. And having the proper intestinal flora and good bacteria in your gut is essential for having a good immune system. So if you don't want your child to get sick at school, feed their immune system, which is feed their gut.
Absolutely, that's so true. And, you know, you gave so many good reasons why we need the probiotics and why they're just missing from our diet, starting all the way from the way we bear our children today with all these C-sections, all the way up to what we're feeding our kids and so on and so forth. But you didn't even talk about antibiotics, too, which is a whole other issue as well. I mean, all the antibiotics people are taking also destroy all those good bacteria in our gut as well.
Yes. Yes. Actually, my children do not take antibiotics. When they're sick, they take probiotics.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if they get a cough or a cold or any sort of bacterial infection, probiotic is the first thing I give them, a really, really high potency dose. And, you know, they overcome, actually, out of the four children that I have, maybe a total of 5 days of school were lost between all four of them last year.
Mm-hmm.
So healthy kids, you know, go to school and don't get sick. And, I mean, you know, a little bit of sickness is definitely good for the immune system. It's good for the immune system to work a little bit and not always be spoiled. But, you know, definitely nothing like my older daughter, who actually was so ill that she missed her entire year of senior kindergarten, which was unfortunate.
And it's so common these days. I mean, so many kids, they just get ear infection after infection. They just keep going back to the doctor, getting more and more antibiotics, more and more antibiotics.
Yeah, ear infection, runny nose, you know, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. You know, they're on puffers, cortisone cream for eczema, which is a hormone, and it's just really unfortunate what's happening. And I worry about the health of the next generation. And actually, my business partner and I are just getting a website up and running called growinghealthykids.com. It should actually be launched in the next 3 weeks, and we're really, really excited because basically we just want to help the next generation is what we want to do. We want to educate the parents of today.
That's so important because, I mean, they are our future. And, you know, research
absolutely
is now saying
they
that
are definitely our future. And, you know, if we don't take care of them, I just don't know what's going to happen to our world. There's actually a study done by a gentleman named Pottinger. And there's actually books written on the Pottinger cat study. And basically what he did was he lived on a farm, but his family farmed for generations, but this particular Pottinger boy, he decided to go into medicine. And so he took his cats and he started feeding them pasteurized milk and cooked meat. And he documented that these cats, the second generation of cats, were not able to land on their feet, and they were starting to get bald patches and lose their fur. And they were angry, and they would fight amongst each other, and they had bad teeth. And then the generation after that were even in further trouble. And so what he did was he took that generation and put them back on raw milk and raw meat. And he noticed that they started to get stronger. And then when they had babies, their babies were even stronger, and they had better teeth, and their fur came back, and they were more calm, and they weren't as angry, and they could land on their feet because they had their coordination back. And so when I look at society today, I kind of always keep that Pottinger cat study in the back of my mind. What's going to happen to the future generations if we continue down the path that we are now with the standard American diet and the chemical onslaught and the toxins and a Band-Aid solutions to health and things like that. So hopefully, you know, I know that traditional medicine, which is natural medicine, which was the way that the earth and societies have been raised on up until about 70, 80 years ago is coming back to become the more mainstream. And it makes me so happy to educate parents and to give them other options other than what's out there. I've made it my life's purpose.
That's awesome. I think it's so needed now. I mean, so many people just don't know what to do. They don't know why they're sick all the time. They don't know why they don't feel well. And, you know, all we see on TV is all these commercials for junk food and pop and candy and all these things, fast food, right? And
mm-hmm.
So that's what people eat because it's so convenient
yeah.
and easy.
There's I don't know if you've ever seen the documentary Food Matters. Have you seen the documentary Food Matters?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, that would be a great one for people to watch as well. And it actually shows, it's based in the U.S., but it actually shows that it's less expensive for a family to be raised on junk food than it is for a family to be raised on healthy food. So you can go through the drive-thru and get an entire meal for less than you can for a couple heads of broccoli, which is unfortunate because you don't want to eat broccoli as a meal. You always want to put, you know, a few other things with it. Or some clean, healthy water is more expensive than soda pop, for instance. And so, you know, when they elect a government into office and you think that the government is going to do everything that they can to make sure that you're taken care of and that you're healthy, but they're allowing this sort of stuff to go on, it makes you question, you know, what's going on in our world where clean, healthy water without chlorine and fluoride and chemicals and aluminum is more expensive than soda pop, like fountain pop, you know, and, you know, your body's made up of, some parts of your body are made up of 90% of water. Your whole body is approximately made up of 75% water. Well, no amount of soda pop is going to replace that. You know, you need water. So how can it be more expensive? So Food Matters is a great documentary for those of you who are interested in how food can help you and how diet and how nutrition can help you. Would be great to watch. And it's a really, it's very insightful movie, very insightful documentary.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, I can't wait to watch it. And you know, that is, it has become such an issue today, the cost of food. You know, like you said, it's cheaper to buy fast food than to buy healthy food. So, you know, what can people who are on a tight budget do to improve their health? I mean, if they can't afford to eat, you know, broccoli for every meal, what are some simple things that are cheap or don't cost anything that they can do to improve their health?
Well, you know, instead of buying things canned or boxed or bagged, you know, like legumes, for instance, we know legumes are healthy for us. They're cheap. Like beans and lima beans and kidney beans and all those, they're cheap, more expensive in a can. So if you buy the dried form and actually soak them and cook them yourself, doing things like that could save on costs. There's a lot of resources on the internet where it'll teach you how to grow your own garden in a very small space. And so even using, in the summer, using a lot of gardening skills, if you have time to preserve some of the vegetables or fruits that you can grow or even buy cheaper when they're in season. So, for instance, up here in Ontario, it's just getting into peach season right now, so you can buy them by the basket, you know, and they're cheap. They're $3 for, like, a whole basket of peaches. So taking those and canning them or preserving them or jarring them or, you know, making jams you know, spreads or things like that is definitely a way to cut costs. You know, beans are in season right now too, like green beans and yellow wax beans. So even buying those by the basket and flash freezing them. And, you know, that doesn't take long. By the time you throw them in the sink, wash them, cut the ends off, and you boil them for like a minute or two and flash freeze them, they'll last you all winter. So doing a lot of things like that. You know, they're saying that there's a global food crisis right now, but a lot of the farms are growing corn more for ethanol than they are for preserving our food system. So things like that are, you know, some of the reasons. But to cut costs, I mean, I feed 4 children, and a lot of the times, you know, of course, price shopping, a lot of the times some of the the bigger stores, their organics are a little bit cheaper than, or, you know, shopping the farmers markets right now, too, is a great resource because things are just less expensive. You know, in the winter, you know that they're going to be more expensive anyway. But, you know, not even necessarily do you have to buy organic. Sometimes locally grown is healthier for you because it hasn't traveled the miles and it has less of a carbon footprint on our earth as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's sometimes where some of the expense comes in is the travel that the produce has to go to get to you.
That's so true. I mean, most of it now, like in the wintertime at least in Indiana where I'm from, I mean, all the produce is shipped from Chile or South America or California.
I know, but could you imagine going a whole season without eating a salad?
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be missing the fiber from that so badly. So, you know, for me, sometimes it's worth it. And when I see the health of my kids and the fact that, you know, if you think about it, we almost create a vicious cycle. So, you know, we spend less money on food. Our kids are sicker. That means more time off work, you know. Or if your children are going to daycare, you have to pay the daycare full-time fees as opposed to part-time fees because your child's not in school because they're not feeling well. They had to stay home for the day. So, you know, if you're not going to spend it one way, you're going to spend it another way somewhere else.
Absolutely. I mean, you can either invest in your
wellness.
It'll come
out of your pocket no matter what.
Exactly. Yeah, you're either going to pay it for the healthy food and the healthy habits, or you're going to pay it for the medical bills.
Exactly. Well, in the States, you have to pay for the medical out of your pocket.
Right.
Here in Canada, we're a little bit more fortunate that way. But, you know, like I said, it's still a day off of work to take your child to the doctor. You know, prescriptions are covered. But, you know, if you have to go back into work and you have to pay your daycare the full-time hours, you know, or take the day off work and lose that day pay. So it's going to come out of your pocket regardless, just in a different form. You know, or if you, you know, not even if you're a child being sick, but if your health is failing and you have to take a day off work. So.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, we've only got a couple minutes left. Do you have any last tips to share with our listeners?
In regards to allergies, there's a lot of information on my website at healnaturally.ca. For my listeners, there's a couple of allergy reversal techniques or elimination techniques that are useful. One of them is called NATE. I really like that one. It's one of the oldest ones out there, but it has some limitations, and you have to go back for many repeated visits. There's a derivative of NATE, and when I say NATE, it's Nambudrapad's Allergy Elimination Technique, so NAET. There's BioSet, which has been derived from the original technique NATE, and then different things have added. If you can find a holistic allergist or somebody who practices something called BIE, which is Bioenergetic Intolerance Elimination, it's done using kinesiology and a computer. It's very cost-effective as well as non-evasive, and it has a high success rate. And then there's also something called BASE Allergy Elimination, which is BASE, and that's cost-effective as well, and it kind of just rebalances the body using the meridians, something similar to acupuncture, but we don't actually use needles. We use the acupuncture point, and we use something called intrasound technology, which is just stimulating the acupuncture point just from the top of the skin and using kinesiology as well. And so that's what I practice. I practice BASE allergy elimination. But again, you know, you can do the allergy elimination, and I have people who call me and say, you know, I'd like the allergy elimination for wheat and dairy, and people out there do have to realize that even though there's these allergy elimination techniques, it doesn't mean that you can still go and eat all the nonsense food and foods that your body cannot break down, cannot use properly, cannot eliminate, and are full of chemicals and genetically modified. Those foods have no place in the body, regardless if there's an allergy elimination technique out there. So basically, it really does start with cleaning up the diet, cleaning out the gut, and you know, removing the top 10 allergy foods, which are milk, dairy, wheat, gluten, corn, soy, orange, tomato, chocolate, and egg. So that's my recommendation for the majority of the people. Try it, because the results will give you lifelong, you know, benefits. And that's really what we're getting into here. We don't want Band-Aid solutions anymore. We really want the long-term benefits of what a healthy lifestyle can offer us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And why don't you talk just a little bit more about dairy and wheat? Because I know so many people that I talk to, and that's one of the first recommendations when you've got these kind of allergies or you've got some kind of unknown symptoms, you don't know where they're coming from, that they often come from wheat and dairy. But most people,
yes,
when you tell them don't do it, they don't want to listen to you. I mean, they're like, well, that's crazy. I thought milk and wheat were good for you. So what is it about them that makes them so allergenic?
Well, the milk is basically how the cow is raised. So we did talk about that that movie Food, Inc., and basically cows are now raised like big business. So, you know, cows are grain-fed. Cows do not eat grain naturally. They eat grass. And then because we want to grow the cow nice and fat, they're given steroids or hormones. And then because they're growing so quickly and so fast and they're eating what doesn't come natural to them and they're living in really closed quarters that are not clean and natural, they're getting sick, so then they're given antibiotics. So our milk is filled with hormones, it's filled with steroids, it's filled with E. coli and pus and all that stuff from the cow that had an infection. And then they pasteurize it, so that means it's heated. They've killed all the enzymes, and we need enzymes. They are the breath of life. Enzymes are actually required to manufacture your DNA, which is your genes, which is your genetics. So we need enzymes, and all our food is enzyme dead. They've heated our food, so that's the pasteurization, and then they homogenize it. So they take a nice big glob of fat that your body recognizes, and they squeeze it through a microfilter. So that one big glob of fat now becomes 1,000 tiny little globs of fat, and the surface area of that fat has increased exponentially, and your body doesn't know how to break that down. So then you're causing that sort of chemical change in the body as well. So that is where the dairy allergy is coming from. And the wheat allergy, again, wheat is a cash crop. It's highly genetically modified, because if a farmer was to lose a wheat crop, he would lose, you know, the basis of his cash flow for that year. So, and then they grow the wheat, and then they process it, and they bleach it, and they powder it. And when you eat wheat that's grown like that and used like that, it's really, really, again, high in gluten. It's got no vitamins in it. It's processed. It's bleached. It's got chlorine in it, and it's just completely changed. And so the wheat that we eat now is not the wheat that we ate 50, 60, 70 years ago. It's not the wheat that farmers used to grow. And so if you need to go gluten-free, you need to change what you're eating, including wheat. But even eating ancient forms of wheat, such as kamut or spelt, which are very low in gluten and have a lesser allergy potential, has more health benefits. So wheat and dairy, and definitely soy. Soy is I don't even know, and the world's Health Organization, they don't even know anymore if there's such thing as organic soy, because it's so genetically modified and it has spread through the wind, this genetically modified crop, and so they can't even guarantee anymore that there's such thing as organic soy. And that's what's happening in our world, is that, you know, even the organic farms sometimes can't guarantee that their crop is organic, because it's being pollinated and spread, the genetically modified crops, in through the organic farms.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, when you change the genes, when you change the genetics, it's something that your body does not recognize. It's no longer Mother Nature.
Absolutely. That's so true. And thank you for sharing that, because you know, you paint a really good picture of why the food that we eat, like the milk and the wheat and the soy, is so different from how it used to be. And I think that's what's really important for people to understand, is that just because something you get at the supermarket looks like what you think it is, doesn't really mean that it's been produced and processed in that same way. I mean, you know, even just produce, like broccoli. I mean, they don't grow the most nutritious kinds of broccoli and put them in the supermarket. They grow the kind of broccoli that lasts the longest and looks the prettiest on the shelf. And so it's missing a lot of the nutrition that it used to have 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago.
Yes. Yes. And so that's what people need to realize, is that the food that's on the shelf is not the same food that our ancestors were eating, even as you know, as far back as one generation ago. And so it is unfortunate, and it's scary because it looks the same and it tastes the same, but it's what's inside that counts, and how it was grown. And see, one of the things I really like about organic is that they use sustainable farming. They use farming the way farmers were meant to be grown food. You know, which is the way food was farmed to sustain our society as we know it today. And it's only since the era, you know, in the last 50, 60 years, that things have really, really changed and exploded into corporations and industrial and things like that, where they don't care anymore about the consumer. So basically, I, you know, my job is to educate people, and really just educate yourself. And the internet has really opened a lot of people's eyes, because it has given them now opportunity to be in touch with information that they probably wouldn't have gotten, you know, unless they had the internet. So it's really been eye-opening for a lot of people now that we have this really great resource.
Absolutely, and that's exactly why we have this show, is to expose people to information from people like you, who are experts in their field and who understand what's going on in our health system and why we're getting so sick as a nation, and as the whole world is getting sicker and sicker because of what we're eating. And so I'm just so grateful that you've been here today to share with us all that great information.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Jennifer.
Thank you.